Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. What's on your mind? Glad to have you. Happy Tuesday. Tuesday the 13th. I don't think that's bad luck in any way, is it? So what's on your mind? Scotty's off today.
Friday the 13th was
the unlucky
day. I don't
know, right? I don't
know. Seems like Monday the 13th ought to be bad. 13th is bad. Monday's bad. That seems like double bad to me.
I remember, right. I forget who it was, like a basketball. I think it was like Karl Malone or somebody. I forget who had number 13. Everybody said, that's an unlucky number. He said, unlucky for anybody that's playing me. That's why I wear it.
Well, and Dan Marino at 13, he did okay for a career. So, yeah.
Bingo. Hey, we're brought to you by our friends at MyPillow. That's Mike Lindell and the team in Minneapolis, down in Chanhassen in the factory, and is keeping it going. Not just talking pillows anymore. MyPillow doesn't mean just pillows. Man, it means everything. Mattress toppers, robes, fantastic. The dream sheets, the towels. These new slippers are fantastic. My memory foam and my new slippers is now starting to, you know, form to the bottom of my foot, so it's like putting them into a custom-fitted pair of slippers. They are fantastic. And if you go on, of course, there's discount codes across the board. Radio listener special right on the front page. Your promo code is Scott, S-C-O-T-T. Enter that, up to 30% off across the board, and just a ton of great stuff. 800-506-9028 is the number, 800-506-9028. For all these great specials and more, MyPillow.com. And welcome back, Tammy Ibach and Robert Harms, and for Scotty today. Good to have you guys. How are you?
Hey, excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Great to have you.
So do we have Scott Hannon calling in?
We do.
I'm here.
He's there. There he is.
Look at that.
Good morning, Scott.
Well, good morning, Tammy. Good morning, Bob.
Hi, Scott. How you doing?
Well, good. I'm excited for you guys to have your inaugural run at guest hosting What's On Your Mind. We love our guest hosts when I'm not able to be on the show. It's fun to be able to just know I can check out, and Kevin and Todd will tell you I always do. I pay no attention to the show. It's kind of a joke. But you know what? I'm glad, and for our audience's sake, Bob Harms is someone I've known since the Schaefer years, was legal counsel to Ed Schaefer, and still to this day a dear confidant and close individual, one of North Dakota's best, most iconic governors ever. Did I understand correctly he's on the show today with you guys? Is that right?
Yes, he is. At 10:30 he's going to show up.
That'll be fun. And
you bet.
And, of course, Tammy Ibach is, for one, a wonderful mother and a fellow prayer warrior. And in addition to that, came up with this ingenious idea for North Dakota for comprehensive energy solutions. And, you know, there's a lot of politicians that say we need all of the above, but most folks, when they're saying it, don't really mean it, because they're more interested in their own particular window, and it's sort of just natural. If you're an advocate for, you know, a particular energy source, you're the hydro, person, you say you're for all of the above, but you aren't necessarily for. And Tammy, I think, really has done a wonderful job of just facilitating as much as possible a conversation where, hey, how do we all, there's room for everybody. So appreciate you both very much. Glad you're going to be there today. I know you got a lot of fun guests on. So I'll let you get to it. I just wanted to let everybody know a little bit of an update on frankspeech.com. We were working till the wee hours of the morning last night, three, four of us, to get everybody that sent a text a link to sign up for frankspeech.com. And today I can tell you, you don't need to text me or Kevin or Todd or super producer Chris Larson. All you need to do is go to frankspeech.com, and it's very easy to sign up. You're going to put in your cell phone number. Your cell phone's going to get a code. You type that in on the website, and voila, you have a choice of putting it on your, you know, app on your phone, or just being able to have a sign up. The thing that I want everybody to know is that we have the ability to tell our listeners that you are a VIP between now and Thursday. So today, tomorrow, and I forget the deadline on Thursday, we'll tell you in advance, is the window in which you can be a VIP. And as you know, myself and others are, I don't like this term, but they call it influencers. they say, Scott, you're an influencer. That sounds like I'm got a snoot full of myself, which I don't. But they pick a number of hosts around the country. Charlie Kirk will be on there. Mike Gallagher from Salem, Eric Metaxas, who I just absolutely love. I mean, Diamond and Silk. Some folks that have been in the conservative space that have been canceled how many times because, oh, I don't know, they thought Donald Trump did a good job and actually did what he said. Well, that's good to be canceled, and they'll cancel you, right? So this is just basically a bulletproof a social media platform that's not going to cancel conservatives. That's what it is. So simple as that. It's the think YouTube meets Twitter because there'll be at first just a lot of video. But eventually a whole social media network. For the first few weeks, at least, it's going to be nothing but the influencers talking to other people. At some point, you'll be able to get an account like you would Facebook or whatever. Right now, the VIP access is what you need to worry about, so you can get it all. And that is at frankspeech.com. And again, just put in your cell phone number and follow the instructions from there. It's pretty easy. That's all I wanted to tell you guys today. Now I want to get you rolling with what's on your mind and chat with the greatest audience any radio program has on earth out there in the wonderful northern plains of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and beyond. So you guys have fun.
Thanks, Scott. We will have fun.
All right.
Big shoes to fill, but we'll do our best. Thanks, Scott. It'll be fun.
You'll do great. You guys have fun. Take care.
Thank you.
So here we are, filling in for Scott Henin. It's Robert Harms and Tammy Ibach, and most of Scott's listeners know us as the people who are on the show talking about wind energy in this state. We're not going to do that today. As much as we always educate and advocate for wind energy, we're going to turn it to the Legacy Fund. Robert Harms, Tammy Ibach, Scott Henin. There was a whole handful of us, including Dave Weiler, who were founders of this Legacy Fund committee going back to 2007, 2008, were influential in getting it to be on the general election ballot in November of 2010. And today we really want to have some deep dives into the Legacy Fund, talk a little bit about what those earnings do for the state of North Dakota, where those dollars are being proposed to be spent. And we've got a lot of detail to offer. Our guests today are going to include Rod Backman. He's been with Governor Schaefer and served as OMB chair, Office of Management and Budget, for about 10 years. We're going to have Daryl Lies, president of the North Dakota Farm Bureau. And then we're going to have Dave Weiler, who was a key legislator at the time, who introduced the constitutional resolution to get the Legacy Fund on the November 2010 ballot. And then we're also going to chime in with former Governor Ed Schaefer to talk about some policies, some solutions, what we can take a look at moving forward, maybe in government in terms of North Dakota, where spending should go. There's been a lot of chatter about the Legacy Fund earnings. We're going to talk today only about the earnings. Today, the Legacy Fund has more than $8 billion in its account, and each legislative session for the past two or three now, we've been spending just the earnings. So, Robert, let's talk about that. What percentage of the earnings are they proposed to spend in the 2021-22 legislative cycle?
Well, it looks like they'll probably spend all of the earnings at the present with an $8 billion balance in the Legacy Fund. It makes about 5 to 6% annually, so it'll generate about $500 million this biennium. And it looks like they are probably going to spend most of it. In the future, and there's a couple of bills that the public should know about that are in play, and one that's already passed. I'll give those numbers here in a moment. But the short version in the future is the legislature plans to spend 80% of the earnings. Basically, the bill says 8%, so it's about 4% annually, 8% for the biennium, and then they'll leave the remnants of the earnings for the legislature to spend. They take 8% and put it into a host of buckets, and then what's left will be up to the legislature to do with it as it please, or as they choose. So that's kind of that's basically the structure in terms of the earnings at the moment.
So some of those bills that we're looking at, we've got some bonding things coming out of it. We've got some building infrastructure. We've got a new, what is proposed as a new government agency coming out of it. Do you think, Robert, that there are, the general public is weighing in heavily enough in terms of how this money should be spent?
Yeah.
You know, we've got a Rob Port who claims to be a good conservative in this state, and he feels that maybe we're hoarding this money. Are we?
Well, no. I mean, we're not hoarding it, but I want to go back to the first question of whether or not the public is weighing in on what's happening to the legacy fund in the first place. And we should maybe talk a little bit about the history, but I don't think the public is weighing in on the legacy fund hardly at all. The proponents for spending are all weighing in on it, but the public generally is pretty absent in terms of any of the legislative processes, and we should get into the history as to why the legacy fund was created in the first place. But no, the public's AWOL at the moment. They were worried about mask mandates and things of that sort, as opposed to how we're spending $8 billion for the future.
Well, when we come back from the break, we can dive into that just a little bit more. Maybe we can get some public involvement in this conversation today.
Communities across North Dakota can see big possibilities for education, infrastructure, conservation, and more. The state's oil and natural gas industry is giving us the resources necessary to make them happen. It not only supports local businesses and good-paying jobs, it invests in our communities, and it contributes $2 billion annually in state taxes that fund important infrastructure and improve lives. North Dakota Oil and Natural Gas, advancing the possibilities. Brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation.
Now you can pair monster power with total control. Your Northern Region New Holland dealer wants to tell you about T9 Series four-wheel drive trackers with the AutoCommand CVT from New Holland. This transmission gives you faster acceleration and easier operation at low speeds with no steps and no ranges. Just move the controller gently for gradual response, aggressively for quick response. Learn more about T9 AutoCommand tractors. Stop by your local Northern Region New Holland dealer today.
A trusted energy partner, a leader in the Bakken. That's Hess. A global independent energy company leading the way in oil and gas exploration and production in North Dakota. Working with suppliers, landowners, communities, applying new approaches and innovative technologies for operating safely and efficiently and protecting the environment. Hess. Working hard to make a positive impact on the lives they touch.
We love the American flag. That's why at ndflagpoleguy.com, that's all we do. We install flagpoles. We repair flagpoles. We wash flags. We replace flags. We want to install and take care of your flag. This is Jim. I'm ndflagpoleguy.com, inviting you to proudly display your love for America by flying Old Glory at your home or business. Call 701-571-FLAG or go to ndflagpoleguy.com. And thank you.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tuesday edition. Scotty's off. We got Tammy Eibach and Robert Harms in for him. Hey, we're brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. Newsmax is America's news page, America's newsroom, online at newsmax.com. If you have not discovered Newsmax yet, whether it's on your, and by the way, if it's not coming from your service provider, call them and make sure they get on it. Okay? Newsmax.com, Newsmax TV. I mean, politics, opinion, The Wire, the book pages alone, the books that they recommend and the links they have to Books on Tape, fantastic. Find out more at Newsmax.com. Newsmax.com. Independent American Newsmax. Here's Tammy Eibach and Robert Harms in for Scott Hennin on What's on Your Mind.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be back. And what we're going to talk about now is a little bit of the history of the Legacy Fund. Robert Harms is going to take the lead on that. He's been a policy advisor for Governor Schaefer, Governor Holman. We're going to go back to when it was actually called the Permanent Oil Trust Fund, and then we made the move into the Legacy Fund and how that came to be. Robert, give us a little recap.
I will. So, Tammy, I think the what the listeners need to, the issue here is the way North Dakota manages its oil and gas tax revenue. So back in the 90s, what Ed Schaefer and the legislators recognized was that we were spending a depletable resource. Oil is a depletable resource. We were spending it as if it was never going to go away. So in 97, we created a permanent oil trust fund. We can talk about that, I think, when Rod Backman gets here. But the effort was to try and save some of the oil revenues for the future. Well, the Permanent Oil Trust Fund eventually became the Not-So-Permanent Oil Trust Fund because essentially it was raided. And so what happened was a handful of North Dakota citizens, yourself and me included, got together in 2007 and tried to begin creating a constitutionally protected savings account. The concept was that eventually oil revenues will go down if we take oil, convert it to cash, use the earnings of that cash to replace oil revenues when they decline. That's the purpose of the Legacy Fund today. And today, the general fund in North Dakota, 27% of every dollar, one out of every $4 we spend for K-12 education, higher ed, human services, running state government, one of every $4 comes out of those two taxes, oil and gas production tax and oil and gas extraction tax. So that's the issue about, we have this fund, $8 billion. It was designed to protect us when oil revenues decline. I'm looking at one of the sheets we used, and you helped us devise that campaign in 2010, and we said to the taxpayers then, quote, the Legacy Fund would secure North Dakota's financial future by providing a consistent state revenue stream for our children and grandchildren long after the oil industry takes a downturn. That was in 2010. So, you know, we took a shot at it in 2008. Governor Holman actually campaigned against us.
That's right, I remember.
My old boss campaigned. Yep. I worked for Holman and Schaefer, and he actually campaigned against us in 2008. So we reconfigured it in the 2009 session and got it back on the ballot in 2010. And it was overwhelmingly approved by the voters by a 2-to-1 margin in 2010. So that's kind of the framework of where we are, the history on it.
Robert, at Sunday after church, there's a farmer friend of mine who farms east of Bismarck in that wing steel kind of area. And we were chatting about, I was going to be on the show today and talking about the Legacy Fund. And he had his probably 15-year-old son standing next to him. And he said, Tammy, I thought when I voted for the Legacy Fund that that's what it was going to be, a legacy so my son wouldn't have to pick up a tab in his future when oil isn't at the prime it is now. And I said that's exactly what it was intended to do. But what we failed to do was to have a conversation about the earnings.
Yeah.
And so today we've landed in this position where we are spending those earnings. And I think there's a lot of us out there that would like to see the majority of those earnings being dropped back into the principal instead of spending it. So what we've done is we've given the Senate and the House an opportunity to think creatively and push through some projects that they seem passionate about. Are they right? Are they wrong? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I'd sure like to hear from some of the listeners as to what they think should be done.
Sure. And, you know, to that point, over the last several years, the legislature has gotten recommendations from not only our group, but others. There was a group that was assembled back in 2014, the Great Plains Institute, and they put about two or three dozen leaders around the state together, and they spent months going through that. Rod Backman was on that effort, and their recommendation was to save 75% of the earnings and use 25% of the earnings. Our group recommended the same 2 years ago to the legislature. We got a report from Norway. Norway has a $1 trillion. Imagine that. North Dakota has $8 billion. Norway has $1 trillion in their sovereign fund. And Norway's, their recommendation, their practice is to use 3% of the earnings out of a $1 trillion fund. And then Alaska, they presented to the 2019 interim period as well. And Alaska's basic message to the legislators were save most of the money. Don't make the mistake that we did by handing out checks and making permanent commitments to your legacy fund. Save the earnings and put it back. That will help the fund grow more quickly, and it'll be able to do what it was designed to do when oil revenues decline.
That's key. To be able to do what it was designed to do when oil revenues decline. And we've all lived in North Dakota our entire lives. We've seen the highs. We've seen the lows. We want to have an element or an opportunity if it was going to be consistent, but the market dictates that, not us. So looking to the future, what do we want for the future? And it's that legacy commitment. But we're picking up projects now with a lot of bonding issues, some infrastructure where some of that is going to be almost permanent funding.
Yeah.
Because we're going to use bonding dollars to pay for projects moving forward.
I think Ed Schaefer and Rod Backman and the other guests that we're going to have on will be able to speak to that. But House Bill 1380 is one of those bills. It creates what's known as the Legacy Streams Bill, and it creates about 10 different buckets in which legacy earnings go. And so that bill contemplates that they'll spend 8% over the biennium or 4% annually into those buckets, and then the balance would be left to the legislature. And given its propensity to spend oil revenues, it's likely that they'll spend 100% of the earnings is kind of what I think will happen. You know, Tammy, one thing that we talked a little bit about Rob Port, I know that Rob accused people of attempting to hoard legacy money, so what do you want to be done with the legacy fund earnings if we can't have some benefit from those dollars saved? What do we want to save them for?
Well, I'm of the opinion those dollars should just be put back into the principal.
Mm-hmm.
But what projects do we want, I think, is a discussion, and I think that there are listeners out in this audience across North Dakota that might have an opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a strong infrastructure? I'm not sure.
Those are good policy questions that I think the listeners and the public should weigh in on with the legislature.
701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. To weigh in, it's What's on Your Mind. More on the way.
Understanding estate planning. Mark Wagner is here from ND Estate Services to tell you how to avoid probate. It costs a ton of your money. Eliminate guardianship. Minimize taxes. Why give it to the federal government and protect your heirs? How can you help, Mark?
Great question, Scott. First of all, we want to help people who want help. It's really our job, our calling, to take a complicated process and really make it simple and easy for your family, especially at the time where they need it the most, at a death, or when you're unable to be responsive, you're incapacitated.
And you do that for a flat fee?
Yeah, we have a flat fee that includes all the attorney work that you need, which would be $39.50, includes all the legal documents.
Avoid the squabbles among the family. Avoid the huge check going to Uncle Sam. NDEstateServices.com or call 701-318-0908 now. Don't wait. Tomorrow may be too late. 318-0908. Call Mark Wagner.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The FDA and the CDC will stop using the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at federal sites and urge states to do so as well as they investigate safety issues Wednesday. Six recipients, all women between the ages of 18 and 48, developed blood clots. One woman died and a second woman in Nebraska has been hospitalized in critical condition. Authorities in Washington, D.C. are searching for a person who shot three women, two of them fatally, before lighting an apartment on fire with a newborn inside Monday night. Two victims were pronounced dead at the scene. Authorities believe the fire was set by the attacker who was leaving the apartment. No other details were given by authorities. In keeping up with his long-standing environmentalism, Prince Philip will reportedly receive an eco-friendly send-off, lying in a $1,200 wood coffin carried by an electric Land Rover. Philip's funeral is Saturday for the Duke of Edinburgh. He died in his sleep Friday at the age of 99. This is USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting it.
To have you here. It's the Tuesday edition. Scotty's off today. We're brought to you by our friends at the University of Mary. Grateful for the healthcare workers and teachers that take care of our communities in times of crisis. That's why they're offering teachers and healthcare workers a thank you scholarship. Get this, the thank you scholarship at UMary valued up to the tuition cost of your first class. How about that? Take the steps towards a fresh start this spring. Enroll in the undergraduate, graduate, or certificate programs at UMary. Find out more at umary.edu, umary.edu, or call them at 701-355-8030. Tammy Ivock and Robert Harms in for Scotty today on What's on Your Mind, guys.
Hey, thank you. Hey, and we have someone joining us right now. His name is Rod Backman. He's a principal of Covenant Consulting, a government affairs firm. He served as Director of Office of Management and Budget under Governor Schaefer and Governor Hovind for 10 years. So he's been a servant to state government, and we appreciate that. And today we want him to join the conversation to talk more so about the legacy fund, these silos or these buckets, these separate entities where funds accumulate, how those dollars get spent. Is it good policy? Is it bad policy? Rod, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, Rod, this is Bob. Say, I'm glad you could join us. Could you help us understand, you know, we're looking at House Bill 1380. That's the one that creates these 10 silos or buckets or streams, however you want to call it. Can you tell the listeners what the budgeting process was that you and Schaefer and Hovind went through and how it works and compare that with what we're seeing in House Bill 1380?
Sure. We always focused on what were the priorities of government, priorities of the people. You know, we were dealing with limited resources, so we used a process of requesting from the agencies and the different entities that are funded by the state general and special funds to see what the needs were. Every agency made their case of what funding they needed, what their priorities were. We actually, in all the budgets I was involved with, asked for their request to come in anywhere between 5 and 10% under their current budget, but then gave them a kind of an additional package for them to make the case of why they needed more than either that 5 or 10% reduction. And so in that process, they had to make the argument of what was important to them. And then our job was to determine how that fit in the big picture of what was important for the state as a whole. And so that was about a year-long process from the time they started putting together their budget request, and they presented them to us. We offered every agency or group that was being funded the ability to have a hearing to make their case. And then our budget analysts, they each had a select group that were anywhere between four. Sometimes we had five budget analysts. So they each had 20 to 25% of the agencies.
Sure.
And they had to, they were well versed in those agencies as to what their needs were. And we went through that process. And then we made recommendations along with the governor's staff and the governor as to how to prioritize that spending.
So then becomes then the governor's executive budget recommendation that he presents to the legislature in the organizational session in the early part of December. Is that the way that works?
Right.
Yeah.
And then the legislature would take that executive budget and, you know, they would hold hearings and determine whether they agreed with us if those were the priorities.
Sure.
One thing I found interesting back then is that the governor would lay out the budget, the legislature would make various changes, but in the end, we always came within 0.01%. By the time the legislature was done, it was that close to what the governor had recommended in total spending.
Sure, sure. And so I'd like to visit a little bit of how does that compare strengths and weaknesses, pro and con, about what House Bill 1380 does and sets up these, 10 silos of various funds percentages of certain funds going and then ongoing spending. Let's talk about that a little bit as to the comparison, pro and con, of each.
Well, I think the big issue is the allocation that they make to the silos right now might be appropriate in 2021, but we don't know what the future holds. In 5 or 10 years from now, that allocation and that formula funding might not be what the priorities of the state are. And so when you set up these formula budget processes, you're trying to project what's going to be spent into the future and what the needs are, and things change. What's important today isn't going to be the same as what it is in 5 or 10 years. And then the other problem related to that is once you set up these kind of special constituent groups that get the money, if you try to change it, they're going to be there fighting you, because if you're taking the money out of one of their silos to fund something else that's important for the people in our Dakota, it's not going to be an easy process. But
yeah, I think you and I talked about – go ahead.
I think the process we talked about, if you do that on a biennial basis, you can then focus on what's important at that time rather than trying to predict what's going to be important years in advance.
And doesn't that process you just described, doesn't that create a competitive environment so that if Bob Harms and Tammy Eibach are both sitting in front of you and they're arguing for $1 and there's only $1 available, then you have to decide, okay, which one of those two organizations or entities has the best program, the highest need? And so you end up with a competitive environment between the agencies so that when it comes budgeting time, You make a better choice. You bring the best ideas forward, and only the best ideas get funded. Isn't that kind of the outcome of having that budgeting process that you just described?
Absolutely, and you're forced to make decisions based on what are the priorities and what's most important, and you're doing it on a more current basis.
Yeah. You know, we talked a little bit about constituencies, and I know that when you were OMB director, there was, I'm thinking a constituency that exists today is the Resources Trust Fund, and the Resources Trust Fund is one of the funds that is funded by oil and gas revenue. And I remember when Ed was governor and you were OMB director, that fund consistently generated tens of millions of dollars, as I recall. And it has grown now. I think at the peak in the Bakken, it was almost $800 million that was allocated to the water community, and they're still asking for more money. But I seem to remember that there was a flap over how Hoven had budgeted for the Resources Trust Fund years ago, and I want to have you to recount that with us if you could a little bit.
Yeah, I think if you go back early enough, there was a point somewhere in the late 90s when our total oil revenue was only about $60 million. And so their share would have been more like $12 million, less than that, because they only get the extraction tax.
Yeah.
So I think there was a point when they were down around $5 or $6 million, and that would have been at the time when the constitutional amendment was passed to set up that Resources Trust Fund. And then, as you say, when you got to the peak of oil back in 13 and 14, it was hundreds of millions of dollars. Well,
I think that's
a very good example as to why this formula budgeting process doesn't work well, because once the funding for the Resources Trust Fund went into the hundreds of millions of dollars, they got that money regardless, and they fought to keep that money.
Yeah.
And yet, if the legislature was making the decision at that point in time, that probably isn't how they would have allocated resources.
And to the point about constituencies being created by these silos or these buckets, I remember when Hoven was governor, he took some of the Resources Trust Fund money to operate the State Water Commission. It was about $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, something like that, because it was used for the agency that administers the Water Resources Program. And I remember there was a big flap between the governor's office, Governor Hoven, and the water community that basically he was stealing, quote-unquote, their money. And that's another problem that, as I see it, where you create these silos. You then create a constituency that expects that funding stream to continue to go on indefinitely. And House Bill 1380 has right in it an ongoing appropriation. So those buckets continue essentially forever until a future legislature changes them. And the point being, I think, is that's difficult to do.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And like you say, what it does, it creates the expectation that that's their money in the future.
Yeah.
Boy, listening to the two of you talk, it reminds me of, was budgeting more difficult when funds were and resources were more limited? Did we have better governments? Did we have better spending? Where today it seems like we have an abundance of wealth to play with. And are the decisions we're making, are they sound? Are they sustainable?
Mm-hmm.
Because creating these buckets, and we have people who then have expectations to those dollars to be allocated for their use. Is it sustainable? If oil and gas had a big shift, could we adhere to it, or would we have to start using the principle of those dollars?
Yeah, good point. Rod, I want to go back to House Bill 1380 for a minute and talk a little bit about PERS. There's a line in that bill that allocates, I think it's intended to be a $50 million biennial payment into the PERS fund. And I'd like you to talk about that for a minute when we get back, if you could.
You're most welcome, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. You can also text it.
got to get off today, but maybe in Robert's class.
You don't need an illness to need a doctor. You don't need to feel sick to feel better. You don't need to be unwell to get well. What you do need is a primary care physician or provider at Sanford Health. Better health care starts with regular wellness visits and a familiar face who knows you, your concerns, and your goals. We're here before you need us. We're here when you need us. We're here after you need us. We're here for you. Find your primary care physician or provider at sanfordhealth.org today.
Every day special at PetroServe USA, especially in April. Pizza Corner Pizzas, 2 for $11. Salted Nut Rolls, 2 for $2. The Big 20-Ounce Red Bulls, 2 for $6. Giant Pistachio Bags, 2 for $5. And all kinds of assorted North Dakota and Minnesota t-shirts for just $9.99. Don't forget the great weekly specials, too, like any fresh-baked muffin for 99 cents Mondays, or Friday the personal pepperoni pizza with cheesy or garlic bread, $5.99. Look for the red, white, and blue at PetroServe USA. Tell them Scott sent you.
There's hot tubs and there's hot spring spas. They're the same thing, but they're not. Vince, hot spring spas and pool tables too. Tell me what's different about hot springs.
The absolute best ownership experience. Better massage, better water, better energy. And those are really the three things that determine whether you use your hot tub a lot or not at all. And we want you to use it because we know when you do, you're better.
Hot spring spa is hassle-free. That's what I'd say about it. I have one. You should too. Hot spring spas, pool tables too. Online at hot spring spas and pool tables too.
There's no terrain too tough or hard for turf equipment, and Swanson Equipment has it all. Slope mowers to keep you upright on steep inclines, turf backs to clear the yard and eliminate dust, landscape equipment to handle tough debris, and verticutters to maintain a healthy green lawn. Get the leading brand in turf equipment at any of your local Swanson locations. Gear up with Hartford Turf Equipment, available in Fargo, Minot, and Fergus Falls. Make your equipment Swanson strong.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one business book in the world. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, two-time national best-selling author and owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold firm in the country. We help investors put physical metals inside their IRAs. My first book, Gold is a Better Way, sparked a movement. My new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one book in the country. I believe every investor should own physical metals. It's why I'm giving away my best-selling book to anyone with an IRA with over $100,000 for free. Call 800-900-8000 to get the bestseller, The Great Devaluation, sent directly to your door. That's 800-900-8000. The new decision is now obvious. Don't you deserve to do it with the best? Call 800-900-8000 for your free book today. That's 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Welcome back to What's on Your Mind. Tammy Eibach and Robert Harms hosting for Scotty today, who's off. They're getting the infrastructure set up for frankspeech.com, and more to come on that in the days to come here, I'm sure. Hey, we're brought to you by our friends at PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. We don't usually talk about the fuel, but I'm telling you, the highest grade, best quality fuel around is at PetroServe USA. We always talk about the lunch specials today. Hot beef sandwich or homemade chicken pot pie in Valley City, right off 292, off I-94. Yeah. Harwood meatball dinner tonight, today. West Main Avenue in West Fargo's got chicken fettuccine today. 12th Avenue North chicken fajitas in Fargo. 205 NP Avenue, Fargo, Tater Tot Hot Dish. They do a fantastic Tater Tot Hot Dish. And Glendon, Minnesota's got the chicken pot pie. Oh, that's on my way home. Guess what I'm having for lunch. All right, PetroServe USA, always helping America fuel better. It's What's on Your Mind, Tammy Eibach and Robert Harms hosting for Scotty. Guys?
Hey, thank you. We've got Rod Backman with us, too. But before we get to Rod, we just want to address some of the text messages or Facebook chats that are coming in. We've got someone who commented, I voted no on the Legacy Fund. Just for all the reasons that you, your guests are talking about, you cannot trust the government. Well, if you voted no and we gave all of the oil and gas extraction funds to the legislators, they would spend it all. And we need to keep in mind that 70% of those dollars are already allocated into the funds that Rod Backman was talking about. So we're taking 30%, putting it in the legacy funding fund for future legacy dollars to hold and to do things with, to keep that in case the oil and gas tax can maybe dry up or change, as we've seen happen in North Dakota many times. If someone else commented, with that much legacy money, there should be no North Dakota tax. I'm not sure how to do that, but there's smart people. Rod, I'm going to turn it over to you. Could we solve the North Dakota no tax issue?
I don't think there's enough dollars there to replace all the taxes. Certainly, to your point, Tammy, earlier about spending, when you have more money, you spend more. It's no different than your personal budget. If you're forced because of limited resources to be prudent in your spending, you are. If you have more available dollars, you spend more. I guess it's no different with government.
That's right.
Rod, before the break, we were talking a little bit about PERS, and House Bill 1380 contemplates a $50 million biennial contribution towards the retirement fund at PERS. Can you explain what's going on there and whether that's good policy or good fiscal policy for the state?
Well, we have the problem now of the assets in the retirement fund not being enough to pay the future benefits to retired state employees. This has been a long-term issue. You know, I hate to say I told you so, but, you know, back in the Shaker administration, we tried to fix this, and we had a plan, but the legislature wouldn't go along with it. And then at that time, I can remember, we were actually at 109% assets to future liabilities, whereas now, I don't know what the number is, but it's something around 70%, and this $50 million they put in is not going to make it whole, so it's more than $50 million whole.
The point is,
we were at 109%, and what happened is the actuaries came in when the dot-com boom was going on, and they said, we're going to have 11% returns going into the future, so you can raise your benefits. And instead of trying to deal with it back then when it was manageable, they raised benefits. And so here we are now, like most states, with a shortfall in the retirement fund.
Okay. All right. Very good. So, Tammy, some of the other questions in the email that we're getting is, with that much money, there should be no North Dakota tax. Give it to the mental health care and give grants to build oil and gas refineries, fully fund school lunches, eliminate property taxes. All of those comments bring to mind the question is, you know, what policy should be formulated with regard to the legacy fund? And I guess I posed that question, and I had what I think is a two-part answer. I think maybe three parts. One, I do think the legacy fund should be managed so that it's available to replace oil and gas revenues when they decline. Again, at the beginning of the show, one of every $4 we spend is coming out of oil and gas revenues. So that's one, the primary purpose. And then secondly, we should be visionary about How do we make our economy more diverse and more innovative and stronger? And, you know, how do we be thoughtful about looking into the future and doing things that very few states in the country really could do, given our wealth and the size of our state? So we should be visionary about what we're doing. And at the same time, we should be skeptical about everybody who has the answer, including Bob Harms.
Robert, I agree with you, and Rod, you can chime in on this conversation, too, because I distinctly remember the conversations when Ed was governor. We were looking at becoming a Buffalo Commons, and everybody in state government was talking about how do we diversify this economy to keep North Dakota's young people here and employed with jobs that provided wages that you could have a sustainable living and lifestyle. And I'm sure that one day we will see that again.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break.
We are.
So, Rod, thank you.
Thanks, Rod. Good to talk to you.
All right. See you guys. To the line of
701-358-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0
preserve your wealth. Successful investing requires more than just selecting the right stocks or bonds. It also requires avoiding big mistakes that can harm your financial future. Call Collins & Kronk to get your free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Let the advisors at Collins & Kronk explain some common pitfalls investors make, and more importantly, how to avoid them. Steering clear of any of these key mistakes could greatly improve your ability to reach your investing goals. Given the current news and the uncertainty in the financial markets, you may wonder how you'll keep your own portfolio on track to help meet your financial goals. Get the free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Call the advisors at Collins & Kronk today and ask for the report. Collins & Kronk, 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., located 300 NP Avenue, Fargo, Suite 108.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.